Yes, Lord. Boy, in prayer meeting yesterday, and let me tell you something. To be a member of a church, there's two things you need to do. You need to be in church, and you need to go be in prayer. Those two things you need to. You need to find, you know what I told somebody else, that the Lord's got me in a mood now. I'm not so worried about being kind as I am being truthful. Because I feel like that being truthful is more important for where you are than being kind. Because a lot of times we operate kindness because we're afraid to tell you the truth. And it's more important to know the truth. But the truth is you need to be involved in two places in this church. And number one, you need to be in church service. This is the place that has been interceding. Many of you will hear God today and have nothing to do with what I'm preaching and have everything to do with what's been prayed. There's been much prayer that's went up over this meeting today that you would be able to find moments of clearness to hear God in your heart about your life. And so that, but the other thing is need to be engaged in a prayer meeting. I want you to know there are things that you will face that you cannot deal with it just in your prayer closet. Now listen to me. Many things you can deal with in your prayer closet. Most of life you can deal with in your prayer closet. But every once in a while, you're going to face something that your prayer closet won't deal with it. You're going to need to get in other people's prayer closets with them. And you're going to need a group to pray you through that thing. Now listen, if you've got some things in your life that won't move, listen to me. This is the truth. There's some things you can't pray through alone. That's why the Bible, Jesus told us, where two or three are gathered together. And he gave the promise that if two or three will agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. Most of the things in life you can pray through, you in your prayer closet. Some things you've got to have a brother or a sister holding your arms up, praying with you, interceding with you to bring you through that for the glory of God. Now, I'm in a confession mode, so not only am I a truth-giving mode, so I have to have truth in myself. I'm in a real area of repentance. I've been in an area of repentance for the last several months because I had laid down the mantle of a warrior in my life. Oh, I used the excuse I got old and got tired, but God don't take those excuses, does he? No. And so I'd really laid down the mantle of war. God called this church to be a warring church and to not stop till you won whatever it is you need to win. And then for the last several years, I'd really laid down that mantle, and I left that mantle. I want to honor that. But Brother Donald and Sister Thelma and a powerful group of prayer warriors had continued to carry that mantle on really alone. But God was not happy. Amen. And so for the last several months, it's been a repentance going on in my heart to begin to change and to once again reach down and take a hold of the mantle of a warrior. And so, Sister Thelma, I are one. I am becoming that mantle, God. And I'm here to tell you the truth. There's some things you're not going to be able to pray through by yourself. You're going to need others to pray with you. So two things you need to be involved with. Number one, you need to be in church. There are places, somebody said, why do you need church? Because this place, your life has been prayed over, interceded over. That when the church come together, where two or three are gathered, what you can't get by yourself is here this morning, honey, for the glory of God. Amen. Because we gathered together in his name, so you will hear the Lord. Second thing, you need to be in a prayer meeting. You've got to have brothers and sisters that you help pray through things so that when you're going through something, they will help you pray through it. Listen to me. You need to be with brothers and sisters so that when you pray them through things, so they will feel connected with you to help pray you through things. And that's just vitally important. We called last week, I'm sorry, I turned my back to you. I'm not really up this morning. How many enjoy that extra hour? I'm asking for God that every night. No, but it's tremendous. But last week I called, I sensed one of the anointings that's in a pastor, one of the giftings that's in a pastor, is to be able to sense the movement of a wolf. And I began to feel that and sense that several weeks ago. And that's why I called last week that we would join together, unite together, or praying over our children. I see in visuals a whole lot, the visuals the way I think. And the visual that I got was this tracking wolf with blood coming from its mouth, stalking. Now, they tell me the characteristic of a wolf is this, that even when he's your pet, he's not your pet. That if he's looking at you, he's sizing you up. He's determining your movements so that when he gets ready to take you down, he thinks he'll be able to take you down. I had no idea. So we called it last week. There's a little mix-up on time. Some people start. How many started last week praying with us, interceding, fasting with us? Then some are starting this week. Well, that just means, great, we're going to get it a week longer. That's wonderful. So it's wonderful. But last week, I was on my way. I was heading down I-75. And while I was driving by myself down I-75, I had this strong sense that began to come over me to take communion. Now, that's not unusual for me. It's been unusual for the last few days. Because I usually, hey, Frankie, it's good to see Frankie. Give Frankie a welcome this morning back. I take communion a lot. I don't say a lot, not near as much as I need to. But I take communion in the middle of the night. I take communion with Elaine when we do prayers at night. I do communion in the morning. I do a lot because I want to remember the power of that cross and the power of that blood. And every time I take that bread, I put that cross up against the enemy. And every time I partake of that juice, I drink in the powerful love, the powerful grace of God into my life. So I take communion. But I hadn't done it for several days. And I'm going along that I-75, had this sense that I needed to take it. And so I fumbled there by myself. I fumbled in the vehicle to get a hold of a communion. I pulled off. I broke the bread and I placed my mouth and I said, I hold the cross of Jesus up against. And then I began to certainly to hold the cross of Jesus up against things going on in your life. And then I began to hold the cross against things going against my family. And in the process of it, I did my grandchildren. I always, whatever kind of praying I'm doing, I'm going to include those guys, whatever we are, wherever. So I hold the cross of Jesus up on behalf of my grandchildren. And I receive the power of the blood that's protecting them. Well, just a few hours later, I'd heard, you know, Rachel, my daughter, was here last week. And Rachel has a whole flock of chillens. And she lives in Houston. And she, and living there in Houston, and she is in home education. Help me, what's my word? Homeschooling, yeah. One of those complicated words. That she's in homeschooling. And so she had carried them to a park. And one of the beautiful characteristics about Rachel is she's naive. She always looking for the best. And so she went to the park there. And while she was there studying on the education, she failed to notice the children at one point, especially the little children, her smallest child, Bella. And then she still didn't notice them. So she didn't notice two strange individuals approach Bella, and they began to coerce her to separate Bella from the rest of the children. But it was the very same time that I was taking communion. Very same time. And so what had happened is Rachel still had no idea. She hadn't lived in that kind of environment, had no idea. God sent, I tell Rachel, I said, Rachel, it was an angel. She said it was an angel, it looked like a woman, but it was an angel. And sent her into that park. That lady had not planned to go to that park. She had not planned to be a part of it at all. But she felt she was to go to the park. And when Rachel was naive and did not know, that lady walked onto that scene, held her hand up against those men, and said, you will not do this. And then a strong believer at that, somebody that Rachel had never met before, a strong believer walked in there and took authority. Next several minutes, though, was engaged with getting away, breaking away, getting loose, getting into being able to get out of that. Police were involved, but by that time it was well too late. And Rachel didn't know that that place had taken more children than any other place in the United States. She had no idea of that. So I'm here to tell you, prayer over children works. Amen. And so I had no idea that when I could sense that movement of that wolf. It's hard to explain as a pastor. You that have pastor's heart, we don't know what I'm talking about. You can sense that. I can still see it in my spirit. Even though I'm looking, I can still see. I can see this tracking of this wolf that's trying his best to separate and to take down. So, but the power of Jesus, somebody say the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus is able to prevail. Amen. And using the power of prayer, using the word of God in prayer, stops him every time. Because he has already defeated. Somebody that knows that he's defeated, jump up again and give the Lord praise. You know the devil is defeated. Praise God. Now, and I had no idea that I was really interceding over my family like that. I was part of it. But I still sense the tracking. So that's we fast and we pray. And some things only go out by fasting and prayer. So we fast and we pray and we put a stop to the enemy. So whatever's going on in your life, I tell you what, there's some people in this church that know how to fast and pray. What you need to do, you need to find them. And just if you can find them just by coming to prayer meetings, there's so many prayer meetings. There's different kinds of prayer meetings. There's prayer meetings that you don't have to be here to attend. There's prayer meetings you can attend on your telephone. There's prayer meetings that you can attend here. There's prayer, all different kinds that are going on. You need to get in one, get connected, so strong prayer warriors will be gathered around you. And whatever you're going through, that they and you together, locked in together, can pray your way through this thing for the glory of God. The Bible said if we will pray, we wouldn't faint. So God's give us the opportunity to pray. So this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a special prayer meeting for children. Now, we've got different things going on. Got Pine Bluff service, then we have service here at 5 o'clock. But at 4 o'clock, if you have a child, no matter what the age, if you have a child that you're concerned about, or if you have a grandchild that you're concerned about, or if you, whatever going on, or if you have an issue, maybe have an issue educationally, or whatever it is, we're going to begin our time this afternoon at 4 o'clock as we're going to intercede over children. And also, I want to really encourage you to lock in. If you at all sense that you need to be a part of this, you only get the benefit. That's the thing about it. You get the benefit as you participate. People don't realize that. People that make prayer requests don't realize that. They don't realize that. You think you just get enough people praying for you, but you got to pray too. You got to pray too. You've got to be part of the process. People don't understand that. Jesus could not weigh that down for Peter. He said, you must do it, you know. You must be willing to wait an hour, pray an hour. You must be willing. So it's not just getting people, it's joining with them. And then if you participate, if anyone hasn't had opportunity yet, let's offer those cards once again. To sign up for the family for the 21-day Seeking God with Family. Ushers, y'all help me. Larry, help me here real quick. Let's get the cards. And if someone else, if you want to, just raise your hand up. Because I want you to have this packet. And this packet, if you sign up, it'll be available for you as you leave. And in this packet is scriptures of promise over what God wants to do with our children that I've gathered for the last 30 years. And they will shock me. They will shock me. As it's amazing how God can just open up things at times. Almost every one of these scriptures in here, I was shocked when I received it. Because I'd read over those passages how many times and did not realize there was a powerful promise there for our kids. Didn't realize it. And so I want you to have the packet. And that's what this will be your become your prayer packet for the next 3 weeks. You'll take it in your prayer time, and you'll just begin to pray out of it. It's laid out daily, so it'll be able to help you. And then at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be ministering how to take advantage of the promise, how to take the promise put in prayer. I'm amazed that, well, in my life at times, how easily I forget that. But it is a process of taking the promise of God and putting that promise into something that will be effective in prayer. So at 5 o'clock, that's what I'm going to talk about, how to take the promise of God and how to take that promise and put it into an effective way in prayer that will begin to work for us. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's open our Bibles real quick. We're almost gone with completely with time, but I'm just going to kind of close out the service today by talking to you about that mind of a warrior. How many loves our introduction? Didn't T.D. Jakes do a wonderful, wonderful? If these ever minister to you, all you have to do is text us on 818-444-0 and say, let me have that opener, and we'll send you the opener right online with it, because they have so much volume it's involved. But we're here today, and a lot of us feel like we're right in the middle. And it's very important that in the middle that we continue certain things in our life. And that really, then during the middle, is where God is probably going to help you to move up some levels to guarantee your victory. Because, see, wherever that you're fighting at, whatever level that you're on, that the enemy is opposing you, a lot of times God knows we've got to move up. We've got to move up. The Lord knows that about a lot of. So the first thing you do when you go into a battle, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I need to adjust? What do I need to adjust? And so you ask the Lord and you allow the Holy Spirit, because I tell you what, he's never lost a battle. He doesn't know how to lose. The Holy Spirit knows how to win. And you say, Lord, how do I need to adjust? And then the Holy Spirit then will take you in a process. And usually almost 90% of the time, there is adjustment that's needed in my life to face a particular battle. There is some type of adjustment. I'm not saying necessarily a sin, but there's usually an adjustment. Because usually the enemy that we're fighting, we haven't fought that one on that level before. If you're going to be in worth to Jesus, I want you to know the devil sent some of his best against you. So if you have any worth to Jesus, somebody says, I don't know why I've got it so bad. Well, I'll tell you why, because you're loved so much. The battle that you're facing is to destroy your effectiveness. And so you just got to determine. So every time you face a battle, it's usually a new approach of an enemy. It leads through another way or in another category. And a lot of times, it's a level of demonic powers that's moved up against us. Because the Bible says that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers, principalities, calling rankings of the enemy. So a lot of times, we need adjustment. I mean, you know, when someone attacks the United States, wherever they are, they have to adjust the weaponry according to that. So they have to adjust the weaponry. So whatever you're going through, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, what do I need to adjust? I want to tell you what, he's given me a lot of different directions over the last number of years, but it wouldn't do 2 cents for you because it was my battle, my hour, and I had to go through adjustment. But God's direction in your life will give you the proper adjustment. All right, now, Brother Robert, he's Morris in our simulcast, did such a wonderful job, didn't he? Teaching us how to get free. But you notice he didn't tell us how to stay free. And that's what we're talking about, is how to hold the enemy at bay. How to not only get free, but how to be able to stay free. And we talked about the Lord had to develop a mentality of a warrior among us. We have to develop the mentality of a warrior. And it's easier said than done, because most of us have not realized that we're in a violent move. In fact, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You got a violent enemy that's been assigned against you, and the kingdom is violently moving against the kingdom of darkness. And so you've got to know that this thing is not just a nursery rhyme. It's not a little, give me my hammock and lullaby me to sleep. It's a real warfare that's got, if you're going to make spiritual progress, you're going to have to develop a warrior's mentality. You're going to have a mindset of a warrior. That's why in the Bible, God, one of the first revelations of himself is Yahweh the warrior. I love that scripture. And he begins to reveal himself as a mighty warrior. And then he's called us to be the same. That's why most people don't understand the Old Testament. They don't understand its warfare mentality. And the Old Testament is full of warfare mentality. It's talking about wars, talking about winning wars. Prayer meetings are an exact replica of a war engaged. And so if you're going to be successful in your growth in God, but if you're also just going to win some battles, there must be a definite assignment in our lives to move into the heart of a warrior and develop that mentality. Amen. We must be kingdom-minded. Everybody say kingdom-minded. First thing, I've got to be kingdom-minded. I've got to realize I've got a Savior and I also got an enemy. I've got to realize that there is a bigger picture. As long as you're just fighting with you, if you're trying to get God to just come help you, that's one of the lesser ways to battle. You got to see yourself as part of a kingdom. You're part of the kingdom of God. And any assault against you is an assault against the kingdom of God. You've got to understand, Jesus taught and preached and shared with us that we are a part of a great kingdom. So you've got to begin to see yourself as that. Don't see yourself as a stray, as a renegade, running off to the side and crying out, God, just come save me and help me. You got to get bigger than that. God has put you on this earth to accomplish certain things for his glory. I mean, some of you are facing things right now. And you're saying, why am I facing? Because God needed somebody that could take that thing down. And you have been chosen by the Lord, and the enemy has tried to contest that. But through the power of God's grace, you can take it down for the glory of God. The Bible says that it's us and God. God's working with us. God working in us. God working through us. So you see yourself as a part of the kingdom. You see yourself in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. And any assault against me, then it comes against Christ. And so if you're going to, it becomes a wonderful level of warfare, because it's no more, I wonder, God, if anybody's with me. God says, I'm here with you. Let's go. So God, it's a powerful, powerful, powerful promise of God's being with you. And so there's certain things that we have to do. So then the second thing, not only do we have to develop a warrior's mentality, second thing, we got to get bigger. Somebody say we got to get bigger. Now look at me. Please don't. Please focus. You've got to get bigger. You've got to get bigger. We just got to get bigger than the petty things. Not learning to focus. I tell you, one of the major assaults against you focusing is this right here. You understand? I watch people in this church all the time sitting there, Facebooking, whatever it is. I know immediately that they're being set up to be taken down. Because what God is doing here in the brief moments we're here, God's trying to build an army together and trying to do something spiritual where that we will be able to handle difficulties. Say, I'll learn to focus. I'll have a discipline. I'll be a disciplined soldier. The Bible says we're to endure hardness as a good soldier. And learn, I will be able to focus. I will be able to lay aside petty things that the devil has put into my life to try to draw me off the course. I will be able to do that. I will be able to focus and line. And we must come to a place where we realize these petty things will carry us down. I've never, in 40 years I've pastored, I've never watched anybody that was caught up in the petty things. And when I talk about petty things, I can talk about somebody offended you, somebody hurt you, Somebody got you down. I'm so disgusted. I can't have faith in the Lord. They disappointed me. When the Bible says when I was a child, I thought I was a child, but finally I became a man and I put away some childish things. When you got to realize that the battles that you're interested in, it's the battle that God is interested in. You've got to pull your attention off the petty thing. If you're prone to get offended, you've got to just grow up. You've got to understand, as long as I am petty, God will never be able to use me. God will never be able to do things through me. So just determine, I'm unoffendable. As long as you can be offended, I guarantee you, the devil is going to send somebody to offend you. As long as you can be hurt, the devil is going to send somebody to hurt you. As long as somebody can get you discouraged, the devil's going to send somebody to discourage you. You've got to come to a place to understand. I lay aside those petty things because I'm focusing on something bigger for the glory of God. I've watched more people lose the battle with cancer because they get offended and get hurt. They have family members they can't forgive. They're all upset over things. Quit being upset about things. Quit being upset about things. Somebody do this with me. Just do it. Say, I'm going to quit being upset about things. I'm going to quit letting me. I know your mama was upset and your grandma was upset and your daddy was upset. So you quit being upset. They've already been upset enough for you. We grow up in the Lord. And we just determine, honey, if you don't love me, you're the one that's missing. I'm not missing a thing. You got to just determine that. The enemy, as long as the enemy knows that you're offendable, he will continually send people into your life to offend you because he knows that's the way he can keep you down all the time. You'll never be effective. You'll never do anything for God. You'll never be able to get your miracle as long as he can keep you offended. So he lines them up. He's dead behind door number two, behind door number three. And that's why you're saying, I always happen to me like this. See, that's because he knows you. He's learned your weaknesses. And you come to a place to say, I refuse to be weak there anymore. I just refuse. Amen. If you can't win over your emotional struggles, then your emotional struggles will win over you. They'll keep you in bondage. If you can't win the battle on the inside, you're never, ever going to be able to win the battle on the outside. Never. But the devil is the outside intruding into you. He comes against you. But if you can't win the battles with you, you're never going to win the battles with him. He's going to keep you down. He's going to keep you wounded. He's going to keep you hurt. He's going to keep you crying about things that don't matter 2 cents. He's going to keep that going on. There comes a day when you say, I'm going to be a warrior. And I'm going to begin to focus my life on the things that God cares about. I'm going to tell you what God cares about. God cares about breaking the curse of poverty off of your life. God cares about breaking the spirit of cancer out of your family. God cares about those children growing up being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God cares about you coming to a place where you can influence this city for the glory of God. Those are the things that God cares about. And as long as you keep your attention on the petty things, you will never, ever fulfill the promise of God or the purpose of God that God's put you here for. Everybody say, I refuse to give way to the petty things. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, it said, if you run with footmen and they wearied you, aren't you tired of being wearied by the petty things? Aren't you just tired? It said, then how can you contend with horses? The horses are coming, honey. The horses are coming. And if the Bible says here, if the footmen had wearied you, how can you hope to fight against the horsemen that are coming? How can you hope to fight? So determine in the name of Jesus, God's going to heal me on the inside so God can make me strong for the outside for the glory of God. I was the most wounded pup that I've ever known. I was more wounded, more hurt, weakest. I have lived as the weakest individual that I've ever counseled. So if you're ever worried about coming to me for counseling, don't worry about it, honey, because I've already been there and done that. And it's the weakest. And there's only one thing that brought change, and that's the Word of God pouring into my spirit and the grace of God that takes that Word and pours concrete into your backbone, where you don't bend over from battles anymore, where you stand erect and you fight and you win for the glory of God. Amen. How do you do it? How do you deal with those things? How do you deal with the petty things? Well, the Bible gives us some good instruction. A lot of different scriptures address that, but this is my favorite. This is my favorite in all the Bible. And there was a time in my life every day, and sometimes it seemed like every hour, this scripture had to be in my life because it addressed my issue. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18 said, yet I would, well, let's go back to 17. It says, though the fig tree does not blossom and there's no fruit in the vines, though the product of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, I decided to cry and weep and feel sorry for myself. No. Something else happens. The Spirit of God inside you saying, this is a time to rejoice. This is a time to rejoice. Somebody say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He is my personal bravery and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and makes me to walk, not stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress up on my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility for the glory of God. Wow. Wow, God's power released. Praise God. The next thing, if I'm going to have the mind of a warrior, I've got to learn Greek. I must learn Greek. Now, I said that sure as a jest, because that's what we all said. That's Greek to me. We must learn a new language. Literally learn a new language. We must learn a new way of talking. We must do it. One brother says, I can't afford to have a thought in me about me that's not in God's mind about me. You hear me? I can't afford to have a thought about me in here that God doesn't have about me in here. There. Yeah. Yes. So we just determine. We must determine in our heart that we're going to change. I tell you, learning a language, I can't imagine how hard that is. I've been working on the English language for so many years. I'm still not any bit closer than I was to start with. I tell you, learn the language hard. We have one of the most wonderful Spanish churches here in Victory. We have Victory Spanish Church, and it's a wonderful church and wonderful pastor. But I'll be honest with you, I can't communicate in Spanish at all. I wish I could. Because learning a new language is hard. It's hard. Oh, I can say a few words. I can say taco. But learning a language is hard. And for you to learn a new language, number one, that you talk to yourself in. That's the major thing. You're not trying to impress your neighbor. You're learning to talk a new language to yourself. I call it the two trees. And I call one tree the uh-oh tree. God always allows two trees, even from the very beginning of time. With Adam and Eve, he allowed two trees. the tree that you could partake of. But God allowed another tree that Adam looked at every day. And that was the tree that he could not partake of and live. I call that the uh-oh tree. Because about the time you start believing God over here, your attention gets on the circumstances and you say, uh-oh. See? And you have a choice to either talk like God, keep your right tree focus, or to begin to focus on the tree that God said you cannot ever focus on. It's the, what is that? That's the physical appearance of things. First thing a warrior always knows, God's called me to live a life of faith. I must handle every situation in my life by faith. I must be willing to live a life believing in things I cannot see and being certain of their existence. I must be willing to do that. I must be willing to live. I'm going to be a warrior. I must be willing to live a life believing in things I cannot see, but being certain of their existence. So what happens is this. It's the uh-oh tree. I thought God healed me from cancer, but uh-oh. I thought my marriage is working out, but uh-oh. Whatever the devil knows how to pull your, to drain your faith and try to pull you off course to get you to believing the natural more than you believe God. At the moment you begin to believe what the world says about you more than what God says about you, there has become a drainage in your life that will drain the very life out of you. I don't know how many times a day I say that somewhere. I say, I'm not going to listen to that uh-oh tree. I tell them right up. I say, I choose not to. Because God's told me to live by the fruit of one tree and to never, ever partake of that other tree. Everything you go through in life, those two trees will be there. That's why you have a godly thought, and then right behind that godly thought would be a very ungodly thought. And you say, uh-oh. I thought I was changed. God will always give you the opportunity of choice. God's not going to make you walk in victory. God's not going to make you a warrior. God's going to always give you the choice. Because in the choice is what makes us strong. The ability to choose the right things, my strength is going to contain that. That's why, man, when you stop being joyful, you can be in a hard situation. I've watched people torn with cancer. I've watched them ridiculing their body, racked in pain. I've watched them sit there and laugh. See? Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. So that's why that right here you got one tree. I'm going to be a missionary one day. Whoa, that's not a missionary thought. See? And God allowed that because God knew it would make you strong to make the choice. That when you make the choice, everything you do will always have those two trees. Everything you do will always have that choice. Then let me close this. I've got 6 minutes. Last thing a warrior knows is I cannot stay weak. If I get weak, I must quickly get strong or I will die. That's what a warrior knows. If I am weak, I must get strong quickly or I will die. So a warrior learns to draw strength from grace. Grace becomes such a part. William, that was such a good message on grace that you ministered it. Elder Rader Wednesday night, I listened to it and I just rejoiced in it, man. It's so good. Such a wonderful message on grace. Because a warrior understands his strength is not in himself. His strength is supernatural. So if he gets weak and stays weak, the devil is going to eventually take him down. So the moment you notice yourself growing weak, you immediately begin to turn and to do things that you know will make you strong. Now, the Bible says that David was so weak one time that he got so discouraged. He was so discouraged, really, that he wanted to die, and his buddies that were with him wanted to help him along in that process. He was faced with a decision. David knew, if I stay weak, I'll lose my kids because his kids have been taken captive. I'll lose my wife because his wife had been taken captive. I'll lose everything that I have because it had all been taken captive. So David said, I cannot stay weak. So the Bible says that he did next. That's a great verse that we all love, that he encouraged himself in the Lord. There's something about praise in the midst of weakness that transforms weakness into great strength. David didn't praise because he felt praise. He didn't praise because he just felt a little jig come on his leg. No. He praised because he would die if he did not re-strengthen himself quickly in the Lord. So what David did, he sent and got the articles of worship. And he began to worship his God. And something miraculous had happened. The Bible called that encouraging yourself. But in the midst of that encouragement, there became a life way of strength. A life way of strength. See, because you got to go back. If you're in petty things, you're always blaming somebody why you're so weak. You're always blaming somebody because they didn't give you a chance. You're always blaming somebody because they overlooked you. You're always blaming somebody because they made you mad. You're always blaming somebody because they disappointed you. But see, you already come by that thing. You already made the decision. I'm not going to give way to those things. And now you've come face to face with the weakness. And you say, Lord, if I stay weak, I'll die. So you begin to worship the Lord in the midst of your problem, honey. In the midst of sickness, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of when devil thinks he's got you in the last round. You say, I will encourage myself in you, Lord. The Bible says that through that praise, that almost immediate thing, evidently, because the time lapse was so small, strength began to flow into David. Where it even seemed like moments before he didn't know what to do. It's an amazing thing about strength. When God's strength comes into you, moments before you don't know what to do, but when strength comes into you, all of a sudden you know what to do. And to a worn down dad that thought he had lost his kids, to a worn down husband who thought he had lost his wife, who a worn down businessman who thought that everything had been stolen away from him, he began to praise. And in moments he knew what to do. He said, I'm going to go get them back. David began to ride in the strength of the Lord. And he captured back everything that the devil had taken away from him. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give you praise and glory. Now one, our altar workers, come up real quickly, if you would. We're going to run. We got 30 seconds to do this, so very quickly. Y'all just come across. If you're going through a battle and the Lord's dealing with your heart, and you say, I just need somebody to stand in my battle with me, because listen, you, if you're a lone wolf, you got to change. If you're a lone wolf, that's out of the mode of insecurity, and you got to realize God wants other people to get into your life, and God's trying to use this battle where you open the door and let other people in. You've got to be willing to let other people in your life.